afternoon presentation on which the board has seen and some of the public members have seen, but we'll tell you what's going on with our revenues and expenses for the coming year. There will be no recommendations on how to fix the financial problems that we're in. That will come in the next couple of weeks. The way I'd like to do it, excuse me, is to let them make their presentation, then I will open the questions from the board. And when that's done, we'll open questions from the audience. And I'd like to emphasize that these should be questions, and they should be directed to the board, and we will ask whoever is needed to answer those questions. So again, thank you for coming, and I hope you hear what you want to hear tonight, because you probably won't, but Beth and Vince, please take over.
I'm going to turn the center lights off because that leeches that off. We did this presentation for a board meeting and with the faculty day after that, and then the next morning with bus drivers who were not here. So the majority of the staff has seen this. I say that because some people still opted not to go. It wasn't mandatory meeting or whatever. But what we're going to do is I'm going to go through the first couple of slides, and then with about the combined wealth ratio, which hopefully will help point out why we're in the situation that we're in. It's not anything that we did individually, the school district or whatever. It's all we're being manipulated down from the state. Then Beth will go over the property tax cap. It's in parentheses. It's not really a tax cap. We're going to show you that. It's a property tax limitation, levy limitation. And then we have a second look at the revenues to show you how, if you did see the first presentation, how it's affecting the numbers at this point. I know this one's hard to see, and obviously if you have it in front of you without the lights on, it's going to be even more difficult to see. But what I'm trying to show with this slide is, in the extreme left is 2003, and it goes through 2011. The actual value and the adjusted gross income on your taxes, when you check off what school district you live in, that's where that information comes from. The way the state works is it's on a 3-year lag. So in other words, the information that you see across the top, when you get to 2007, that's the first year when we had the major cuts. If you slide down, the state aid will show you, and I'll point that out as we go along. But if we break it into a smaller section so you can follow along, in 2003, our actual value was $292,000. The adjusted gross income was $99,000 for a total of $91 million, or 0.545 as a combined wealth ratio. Now, what does that mean? New York City is considered one. With the extreme wealth and extreme poverty, it balances out to one. And one is what the average is across the state. And when I say that, we fall below the average in 2003. We still will all the way along, but it'll show you how it's growing. The thing that you have to realize is, well, Cambridge is in the mid, 0.5 or whatever. When you get down to Westchester County, they're fours and fives, 4 point something, 5 point something. And I can't think of the name of the one on the tip of Long Island. It's like 41, so they range all over the place. But if you follow this, just these 3 years, and I'll take the 2005 on the next slide, it increases. The total actual value goes up, the adjusted gross income goes up, but in the same respects, comparatively speaking across the state, we still go down in our combined wealth ratio. So our combined wealth ratio was 0.545, it went down to 5.34. The gray area, or orange, whatever color that is, every time you see one of those, it went down from the previous year. So in 2005, the adjusted gross income went down, but the property values continued to go up. And what happened to the combined wealth ratio? Again, it went down a little bit. Now this carries to this one. Again, there's 2005, just to show you so you didn't have to flip back and forth. The next year, again, the assessed valuations went up. From the previous year, the adjusted gross incomes went up. So now we start to see down at the bottom the combined wealth ratio, even though it's still 0.5, 1.57, it went up from the previous year. In 2007, that's a huge increase in the actual valuation. So the actual valuation is the true value. Whatever the assessors sit down and say the property value is worth, they submit it down to the New York State Office of Real Property Services and they assign an equalization rate to it. That equalization rate across the 8 townships that are in the Cambridge district give you that value. So we went up, oh my God, over 27% in 1 year, just in the assessed values from 06 to 07. Again, we went up 9 points, which is quite a bit down the bottom of the combined wealth ratio. In 2007, again, we're on that 3-year lag, so remember that. That's the huge jump from 2010, and I'll show you that in a second. That's why we were hit a couple of years ago. Again, our assessed valuations went up in 2008. Adjusted gross income started to go down. Our combined wealth ratio still went up. 2009 is the same thing, and in 2009, 606 is the highest that it was. After that, it starts to go down. Thank God, I don't know what was going to happen to it. But the adjusted gross income went down, and again, for next year, we're going to be at 0.789. That's unbelievable growth. Now, what they're basically saying here in Albany is everybody is... The student population here is supported by a certain number of dollars worth of real estate, so we are a wealthy district. This is where I wanted to show you the first year of the chart, 2003 to 2009. 2009 is the last year where we have both the actual value and the adjusted income, and that's the one that is going to drive what happens to us next year. In that period of time, from 03 to 09, the actual value went up 107.4%. Absolutely ridiculous. And the adjusted income only went up 10.6%. This gets us to what I was talking about earlier. In 2007, when we were at 0.66 as a combined wealth ratio, our aid for the first time was affected. We lost $1.5 million of aid. In the course of the legislature, that's in the governor's proposal, in the course of the legislature before the budget came out, they restored $532,000. So we still lost over $1 million in aid in the 2010-11 school year. Last year, they took $1.8 million from us. Again, looking up above that, 0.688. That's the combined wealth ratio. Again, they're saying we're wealthy. We lost $1.8 million, they gave us back $153,000. So we still go down our budget to $1.68 million. Now, the thing that you have to realize with this is, they have, and we'll get into it later on, the gap elimination. The numbers that we're losing in the bottom of the state aid is what the governor is referring to as the gap elimination. The gap that he's eliminating is the state gap, the budget gap. Seems to be falling on the shoulders of the children, not only in this district, but throughout New York State. And it brings us to the last one in 2009, when it's gone up to 0.789 in the combined wealth ratio. Right now, according to the governor's proposal, we're going to lose $1.58 million. We don't know what, if anything, will be returned. All right, we'll give you some speculation as we go on later on, but at this point, over the last 3 years, we lost a total of $4.3 million. I don't know how, in a $17 million budget, we expect to sustain that much losses. Eventually, it's going to catch up to us, and it's going. It's going to happen again this year. This brings us to the property tax gap.
So while state aid is declining, how we could raise revenue. In June of 2011, the property tax cap, Chapter 97 of the laws of 2011, was enacted. And it begins with the 12-13 school year, this year's budget. There is a sunset provision, and it's tied with rent controls. So as long as there's rent controls in New York City, we will have this property tax cap. Contingency budgets, requirements, and restrictions are still in place. What's important that we stress here is it's being sold as a 2% tax cap, but it really isn't. It changes how you can raise taxes. If you choose to follow the formula, you can go out with a 50% majority. If you choose to go over this formula, this 2% growth factor, you need a different vote threshold. You need a supermajority or 60% plus one. Each school district calculates its tax levy limitation, and every school district will be different. Again, it's not a limit. They've changed the threshold for voter approval. What they've done is they've given the no vote a stronger vote. This is the formula that was given to us by the comptroller's office. It's 8 steps. We'll go through each one individually. And this is our factors right here, our calculation. These are the numbers that were submitted on March 1st to the comptroller's office. The last presentation, I had gone to a couple seminars since the night of information. On February 13th, we were estimating a 3.8% tax increase. It's now been reduced to 3.496, or $258,000 to be raised through taxes. Going back to the formula, you start with your prior year tax levy. We use a tax-based growth factor, which is given to us by the Department of Tax and Finance. We add any pilots that we have. Then we deduct what they're called prior year exemptions, which for us is basically the local share of our debt service. That brings us to the adjusted prior year levy. Now, this is where the 2% tax cap comes into play, and this next, the multiplier. It is the lesser of the CPI, the 2%. This year, the CPI came out at 3, so you use the lesser of, so we're not even being allowed for inflationary growth. Subtract current year pilots, any carryover, which there will not be any because it's the first year, brings you to your tax levy limit. Then you add coming school year exemptions, again, your debt service and your retirement. I'll go through these individually. And that gives us to our maximum allowable levy for the 3.496. So going back to the top, the tax-based growth factor, the 1.005, it's a quantity change factor. It's the real growth, physical growth in your community, not assessed growth, but actually new developments or new construction improvements to property. Again, it's provided by ORPS, Office of Real Property, and for Cambridge, it's 1.005. This could never be less than one. A pilot is a payment in lieu of taxes. These are usually put in place incentives to bring commercial growth into your community. Cambridge has one for $618. The prior year exemptions, this is your capital tax levy or the local share of your debt service. When we were talking about capital projects, we'd say we have a state aid, state building aid ratio of 79.5%. So the complement, the 20.5% of debt that we take on is the local share. And that's what you can exclude from this formula. There's also court orders and judgments, but these would be resulting out of tort actions, not tax certiories. So if somebody goes and appeals their assessment and it's reduced, that's not part of this calculation. It's only if we were liable, negligent, for the court case. And we don't take the pensions this year. That's for the next year's exemptions. So for us, the debt service is our old project. We did a refunding. It's the bus garage, our Excel project. Every year we do a $100,000 project out of our general fund and what we borrow to buy buses. Again, local share only. The allowable growth factor, as I mentioned, is the lesser of the 2% or CPI, Consumer Price Index. This is calculated at the end of the year, so at December it was 3.0. We use the lesser of, so we have a 2% growth factor in our calculation. The available carryover, for the first year there won't be any, but if at some point you decide that you were to go out with less, using less than the 2%, you know, 1.7, 1.5, then you would allow yourself to have carryover in the next year, but never to go over 1.5% in any given year. So the tax levy limit, that was the number that was submitted March 1st. This is before any allowable exemptions. Coming school year exemptions are the exact same as the prior year, the local share of the debt service. And again, all those, nothing's changed other than we will be taking on new debt with our $8 million project. But here we also, you want to skip right through this one, please. Anytime, this is when the pension calculation comes into play. If the ERS, or the Employees Retirement System, or the TRS, the Teachers Retirement System, grows by more than 2 percentage points, you can exclude the percentage points over the 2. So for this year, ERS is going from 16.3 to 18.9, 2.6%. So you can use 0.06 of a number that's of our support staff, basically, salaries. The TRS did not move more than 2%, so there is no exclusion. And again, you see the same list of in the debt service, except that we will have the $8 million project now as part of this exemption. And the ERS. So that's the property tax cap calculation that was given to us. So now we're looking at the second time going through with revenues. Unfortunately, nothing's changed since the last time we looked at them. We've not heard much out of Albany other than $270 million has been set aside, $250 million has been set aside for efficiency grants that legislatures are going to push the governor to just give back to districts. But again, it's just a rumor. This is our governor's proposal. The foundation aid, the $7 million on top, that has stayed flat since the 2008-2009 school year. The next set of numbers are what they call expense-driven aids. So you have to spend the money to get the money back. We have universal pre-K. If we spend money with BOCES, we have a BOCES ratio, we get money back. Excess cost is your special ed costs. Again, you have private placement, or you have public placements, money comes back. When we spend money on hardware, technology, software, library, textbooks, the state gives us aid on that. And we also get transportation aid. Then they put into play the gap elimination adjustment, the $1.5 billion. Add in our building aid for the $8.5 billion in state aid this year. The increase of the $42,000 is really the increase in what the less they took away. He's giving us more state aid, but really they just took less. For Cambridge as a whole, the revenues, we start with our taxes, we have some small tuition, admissions, interest and earnings, some reimbursements, gets to our state aid. Right now with the no growth in taxes, no use of fund balance, we see $1.6 million decrease in revenues, or 9.09%. Which takes us, well, here's the $250 million I was talking about, the performance grants they may give back to the schools as a give back.
What we're hearing, this is what I had talked about earlier, what we're hearing is, if you take a look at the GEA number, it's $2,266,000,000. If that's the money that was taken away from all the schools across New York State, if they return the amount of money in the grant, which is only going to be down here to $250 million, it's about an 11% increase. So if we're losing $1.7 million or $1.6 million, if we get back $170,000, that would be a lot. But there's no guarantee to anything right now. And that's what the speculation is, that the legislation will just go through and say, okay, we're going to return this and make the governor take away from the grants that he's talking about. We're not, from the original comments or explanations of the grant, we wouldn't be eligible for any grants. We already perform higher than most of the benchmarks that they were using. take $250 million and distribute that, it still wouldn't cancel out the $1.6 million that we're in the hole. It's only going to be about $170,000.
And that brings us to our expenditure side. What I've done here is set it up through function codes, try to give a description of these codes and combine them in a way that makes sense. And going through factoring in retirements, and all the best estimates that I have at this time, if you look down at the bottom, it's a 2.06% increase from 17 million to 18,074 for an increase of 364,000. Really, that's not much of an increase, but the bulk of it, as you can see, comes from the benefits in the 9,000 line. Our health insurance is estimated to increase significantly, and the TRS and the ERS contribution are estimated to increase quite a bit. If you bring over the estimated revenues from the previous sheet, you see we have a budget gap currently of $1.9 million.
From the last meeting, it changed a little bit. That's the main thing that we wanted to show. It's an insignificant change, but again, if you go back to the increase in the benefits, that's everybody. If you go back to just that number, all we can raise in the tax levy is $258,000.
Yes,
$258,000. We're already at $468,000 with benefits. So if we continue with this type of a funding from New York State, what we have to do each year is what I keep referring to as cannibalize, because in order to exist or continue to maintain, we have to cut something. We've been cutting all through the budget for years. The majority of the budget in the service business is what we are. The majority of the budget is employees. That's what we're left with. And unfortunately, it's going to get to the point where it will affect staff.
Questions for Vince or Beth. I know we've seen these numbers before.
Right.
is not about you folks out there. Any questions for Mr. Canini or Mrs. Coates?
I had a couple questions. Just a couple of the line items in the slide on 27. What is, I'm just curious what they stand for. Like when it said supervision, that line item, who is that or what is that? The fourth line down?
That's your, basically your principals.
Okay.
And it's not just staff.
That's the entire supervision code. So if you take a look, it goes from 2010 to 2017. 2010 to 2017. So it's everything that comes out of the administrative office.
Professional development is also in there.
Professional development.
And then the top one, the central administration, what does that entail?
Again, it goes 1010, which is the Board of Education code, to 14E. It's all of the contractual, central services.
That's going to be your business office expenses?
Yeah, but is it the...
that's going to be your central services. That's mostly your start your board of ed, and it goes to like tax collection. So your business office is in there. Our copiers, lease expenses are in there. Financial software expenses are in there. The business office staff. The superintendent's office is in there.
We do have a breakdown of the codes if you want those.
Yeah, that'd be good. I mean, just to help understand sort of where the increases are, that'd be great. Thank you.
We'll put that on the website, too.
Okay.
This is also on the website if anybody, there's more copies over there, so if anybody wants a copy of this, it's on the website.
Yes,
John,
I was just curious, what are all the
The majority of the benefits are definitely the health insurance this year. It's the increase in the teacher's retirement system, employees' retirement system, the FICA.
Social Security is in there. Unemployment is in there. That's our benefit codes.
Vince, is it a lot of the increases because the stock market has been doing so poorly?
Yes. Depends on what you read with that, too, because I just got my TRS report from the retirement system, and they supposedly are doing very well. But the stock market's what usually drives that.
We're in a health consortium that has been subsidizing us for 2 years, I think, hoping that something would break, and it hasn't. And now, because they've subsidized us for 2 years, we have to kind of, this year, we're seeing the growth that we haven't been seeing, and it's unfortunate that it's all at once.
It's kind of like what happens when we use a fund balance. The first year we had $425,000. We were able to return to that $425,000, $409,000. This year we have $1.1 million that we used in last year's budget to make this year work. We're not sure at this point exactly how much it's going to be. That's why hopefully at the end we'll have $1.7 million with what the other reserves are. But every time you spend it, you don't have it again. So when the consortium has been subsidizing the health insurance contributions for the last couple of years, if they subsidize 1% 1 year, the next year they have to subsidize that 1% plus whatever else increase it was. So if it was 3%, so it's a total of 4%. And then eventually they get to the point where they can't do it anymore. And that's when it comes back.
Yes.
I'm not sure. I had a couple of questions that I wanted to kind of throw on the floor, and this meeting, listening to your opening comments, might not be the place. I know I can't make any other meeting, but two things. I'm a person that believes in a long-term plan. You don't have that time. You're in the crosshairs of an emergency. And that $468,000 of benefits, you fix that this year. There's no guarantee. step 6 to step 12, same time range. Again, you can correct me anytime you want. I'm going to say the step is going to average 2.5% for 6 years. 2.5 times 6 years is 15% for the instructional employee without a raise. If you put an estimated salary increase per step of 1.5% on top of that, that's an extra 9. So what's saying here in the Eagle, I think what you said, we should call our representatives. I can't call my representative and say, I'm one of the 10.6% increase people. I want to find a way to pay the people who are making 24% increase. And that's, I don't mean to sound bitter. It's just a fact. When you talk about facts, it's not hurting anyone. So that's long term. If every instructional employee, and mark my word, I'm not talking about bus drivers, aides, teacher aides, custodians, they're part of the 10.6%. But the nature of the system is not unique to this school. All public schools in the state have a step system. I've seen yours. I mean, at one time I had a big one at the end, but I just throw it out there. You can put any number you want in there. But is it not realistic that if it's true, the residents are getting a 10.6% increase over 6 years, they're looking to find funds for someone who's going up 24%? I use that as an example. If that scenario is not at least addressed in some capacity, that's going to go on indefinitely. And all you got to do is say, oh, I remember that in school. Ancient history. Paupers bought some of the reeds to the castle and knocked it off the door. If people look into this and take the time, everybody's busy, but you figure that out. That's a long-term issue. I've sat for 4 years with no contract. It's not easy. But everyone, district residents, employees, everybody has to face the fact that this economy and this society is in trouble. And that's not me today. I'm sorry for taking your time, but the quick fix will be here next year in the draft.
Thank you.
The job and staff.
Thank you very much. Yes.
Is there any possibility of that you're going to get the jobs restoration loans?
That. That was a one-time. Actually, that was given in 10-11. We used it this year. It was a one-time shot or infusion. See, that's part of.
Was that what you answered in 2007 for school restoration? Or if I notice it's not in the restoration of 2008?
Oh, because the fact that it was federal monies?
The job restoration money was money that was put in there in the 9-10 state aid. We didn't use it. 10-11 state aid, we didn't use it. So I think I'm going to go back. There's the
it's part of that.
Yeah, the federal government gave us the money. But the state government turned around and took away that same amount of money, saying that we were getting that from the federal government. So it came to us in that particular time frame, but we waited till the following year to use it, which was the share.
So it's showing as a revenue in the 2011
federal
budget.
Showing revenue.
That's when we actually
that's
used it.
That's when we used it.
It came out in August after the 10-11 budget had already passed. So what they said was, if you don't use it at the 10-11, you can defer it to the 11-12. And since the budget was already
okay,
in place.
Okay, so that's why it's not showing this
right.
Restored in the budget.
Right.
How does the, if you don't mind me asking, how does the enhanced STAR, I know that you just, I'm an assessor in 2000. I know that you just upped your income limitations to the senior exemption, which I think is great. How's that going to impact? Have you done, did you do some calculations on that? How that's going to impact the other taxpayers?
The county estimated that it'd have about a $36,000 impact, which we calculated to be about 7 cents per thousand true value.
Will that be offset by the reduction in enhanced in STAR?
The enhanced STAR.
That's
separate.
STAR. They're totally separate.
Right.
Will it be offset in money-wise, I'm talking about? Because the enhanced STAR goes down every year. Is that included? Does that come as part of the package, the state aid? Is that
no.
No.
basic terms.
Yeah, but where is that shown in the revenues as well? Is it part of the?
It's part of the real property taxes, because that $7 million includes STAR.
Includes the STAR. And you get that payment directly from the state, no?
Correct.
Okay. And is there any chance that there's additional grants available to, like, for a teaching position or? The grants are not included in the budget.
It's just a little over $1 million, I believe.
Better yet, how many, if that doesn't keep some teachers here, correct?
Yes, we, two teachers, half of a support staff that are in one grant, and two teachers are in another grant, and then one teaching assistant is in a third grant.
One more question, I'm sorry. I'm worried here. Is the income that you have on this chart, how do they figure in people that do not buy it?
I know I can't answer that. The numbers I'm getting, every time we do, like in 10, 11, you go and you find out where the combined wealth ratio is, it's giving you the 2007 numbers, and they're reported to us. This is all the information that goes down from the state to the state, and the state issues this.
It's just like they're giving me an equalization rate that is the greater.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that's where you're coming up with these property values that are growing, and that's not right.
Yeah.
And with today's technology, it's not right.
It's a three-year lag even with the equalization.
Yes.
That's why next year, if you go back to the beginning, we start going down in 10 and then 11. So,
yeah. Hi.
Hi.
Are you a
Hi. I'm an assessor in the town of Jackson.
Good questions. Any more?
No, I'm done. Thank you very much.
Any more questions? Thank you for the good ones so far. It's confusing and distressing. I realize that. Vince, if you want to take the next step, you're a braver man than I. Go for it.
Yeah. These signs on the wall, I wish were directed at the state as opposed to us, because we are really in a position where we're being manipulated. Sure thing. What we have to do is make up the $915,000. And so far, what we've done, if you notice, I said that the expenditures changed. That's why when we get to the positions that are down here and say not filled, return, all of that has already been included in the expenditure side of the budget. All right? But I want to include them because this is the impact of next year's. What would have to happen, or one of the possible scenarios that would have to happen in order for us to get to the point where we're down on the bottom and it is to the positive. So if you take a look, the first grade and kindergarten have four sections right now. They'll be reduced to three each. One's on the top, one's on the bottom because there was an individual that retired. Not going to be filled. Position on the top, we will lose. The business, PE, math, English, social studies, all will lose one individual. Reading, music, 0.6, language would be 0.5. One psychologist, and we have the CIO is the chief information officer. Right now it's an individual who gets a stipend. That position will be combined with an administrative position, so that position, that stipend will be what is saved. But if you take a look, because we have to net it out with the unemployment that we would have to pay, that only gives us $523,000 of the $915,000 that's on the top. Then we go extracurricular activities. All extracurricular activities would be the $89,768. Late buses are $37,666. And then the last one would be interscholastic sports at $264,968. That would get us to the point where we would have a positive for 2008.
36 to get us where we made up that $2 million. Most uncomfortable, believe me, I've gone through this before, I know everybody's position, I talk with them, it is not the easiest thing to have a conversation with somebody where I'm rocking the world. I haven't been able to sleep, the simple fact that we'll get to the extracurricular and interscholastic sports. I've lived through that as a teacher. It's the worst thing you can imagine. There's nothing for the students to do. But we've reached the point where the only way to make up that money would be to talk about these type of things.
Okay, wait a minute. Before we open it up to you folks out there, and I'm sure you have lots of questions, this is the first, the board has seen this slide. So I'd like to have us four. Go ahead, Howard.
Vince, I'm on Vince. People have known you pretty well.
Can't hear you, Howard.
People who have been around me, worked around me with the children here at Cambridge over the years, know that I'm a very, very firm advocate of enrichment for children. And I said last year that I would have a really hard time swallowing any more teacher cuts. I don't see any administrative cuts up there. Our enrollment's going down, Vince. We're losing all of these teachers and programs, and yet we've added an administrator. Why? Can you rationalize that?
We have not added an administrator, Howard. We have deducted an administrator. We had four building administrators, we only have three. And with the increase in APPR and everything else, I can't imagine losing an additional administrator. If we're going to lose the interscholastic sports and the co-curricular or extracurricular, what happened the last time when I was involved in this way back when? Discipline increased, vandalism increased, even in the village. So not here, obviously. But these are the things that have to fix. I agree with you 100%. And if I haven't said it yet tonight, we are on a survival mode. I don't know how else to put it. I would never make any of these cuts. If we got back, if we go back to the very beginning, the gap elimination has been $4.3 million over the last 3 years. I don't know if they expect any district our size to be able to sustain that type of constant losses of savings.
I guess my next question would be, Vince, I kind of disagree with you in terms of the assistant principal in high school. I'd like to know if you could enlighten me on this factor, and that is the non-contractual emoluments are you paying to anybody in the school, administrative, faculty, or otherwise?
We can get together a list for it. Do you have it?
I'm not being 100% sure, like department coordinators?
No, I'm not talking about department coordinators. I'm talking about chief informational officer. Are you paying somebody to do a master schedule?
Yes.
How much are those salaries, and who are they going to?
I'm not the chief information officer. The memorandum of agreement that we have right now is over $20,000.
To who?
To a member of the staff, teaching staff. You want an individual?
Is it a faculty member, or is
yes,
it an administrator?
It's a faculty member. Next year, what we're going to do is jockey the responsibilities of the administrators. The associate principal will pick up the CIO position, which this year we're paying over $20,000, $21,000 change. And they'll do it for the stipend that they were getting for special ed, 7 through 12. The special ed person that was doing it, K through 6, will pick up K through 12 with no additional increase in pay.
I'd also like to ask for, in the future, if you could get it to me so I can look at it, an absolute itemized breakdown of summer school. How much are we paying into that program, and what are we actually profiting on it?
Got it.
The summer school itself.
That's the 7-12 summer school, right?
Right. We netted, last year's numbers, it cost $61,000.
Summer school is not just that, though.
Right.
That's the 7-12 Basically, if someone fails, they repeat the course. The summer program is more than that.
And then we have AP course prep for a little over $1,000. We have a summer reading program in the elementary, which is $15,500. Driver's Ed, we actually made money last year. The summer enrichment program, the summer science, is a little over $4,000. We have a special ed program that we run that we bust through IEPs, a little over $3,800. Kinder camp is $1,800. For a total of all those components, roughly $85,000.
You have some unencumbered money in the activity account that hasn't been used for environmental education, summer program?
$3,000. Did you say there's money in the student activity account?
Yeah.
Student activity is the student's one.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if there's nobody running that club, could that be rolled back into some other enrichment activity?
Student government have a controlling account for the student activity. So if there's no funds if a fund goes stale, it goes back to the student government.
And what is your feeling about having local benefactors sponsor some of our enrichment programs here at the school?
The problem I would have with that probably is it's going to be pick and choose as to which ones. But I have no problem with anybody volunteering or donating money to support any of the programs.
Thank you.
Jan?
Paul? I'll go first.
There's really, I guess the one factor that's still potentially up in the air is the possibility for some more state aid. And I guess at this stage I'm still hopeful that's still possible. Less and less hopeful every day, but that would make these decisions a lot easier. Other than that, I certainly have no other suggestions.
If we were to get $1 million back, we wouldn't be having this conversation, right? I don't think that's going to happen, unfortunately. It goes back to the same thing I was saying. $4.3 million in 3 years is absolutely ridiculous. This is why, there's a letter on the website too, we'll show you where that is if you want to get to it, and the addresses of all the representatives. Send letters, inundate them. I would help you write the posters. It's one of those things that it's not happening just here. I don't know if you've been looking in the paper, all the different districts are finding the fact that it's a shortfall. We luckily got less taken away from us this year than last year. So we were to the positive, but everybody wasn't even in that situation. I know that's other school districts and everything else, but it goes back to everything. I don't think there's anything that anybody has said tonight that I haven't agreed with. Unfortunately, we don't get to that point. The governor needs to be basically told, my comment, met with Betty Little and Senator Flanagan. Senator Flanagan is the chair of the Education Committee of New York State, and they met with a handful of superintendents in the BOCES district. And when we got all done, I said, now it's past the point of rhetoric. We shouldn't be having these conversations. You need to do something. I feel like I'm sitting on the side of a hill, watching the train carrying our kids, going toward a bridge that's out. You guys have to fix that bridge before the train gets there, otherwise there are things that are gonna happen that will always have a permanent impact on the kids. They didn't think anything of it. We're powerless. My comment to that is anybody that thinks if they're representing you, they're powerless, they shouldn't be in office. Vote them out. Vote against whoever is there. Now, also I had the conversation with Betty Little, and I said, now's the time to be standing on the mountaintop screaming and yelling that the emperor has no clothes. Everything that the governor's saying, the governor's writing the highest approval rate, but this is going to start to crash and burn for all of the school districts. They basically want closed school districts that are under 1,000 students. They want them to join and merge with other school districts. I don't think that's the solution. They can't continue to take the money from us. We need to yell and scream, and somebody said take a bus down to Albany. Unfortunately, we can't take a school bus down to Albany because that's the use of public funds in order to serve our purpose. ask for a budget, but we can tell you to come out and please vote. Every meeting that I've, and everybody I've talked to, I wanted this place packed tonight so you could leave here knowing the frustration that we've been going through. It's not the easiest thing to do, to sit and tell somebody that they're not going to have a job next year because somebody cut the money. Yes, sir.
Could you talk about the impact of the cuts on class size, class offerings, program offerings, and other kinds of education impacts?
Vince, excuse me, before you do that, we still have one more board member that hasn't been addressed.
Sure. Hey, I have a question on the debt service. For the $11 million in old projects, the $4.5 million in the bus garage, the $8 million that was just occurred, what is the local share of, what is our local share that we pay every year on that debt service?
Well, I go to...
I looked, it wasn't, it was beyond my finding it.
Our debt service would be $1.7 million this year, that budget.
But that's not the local share.
This year, the local share is $289,681. Next year, you take the $368, subtract about $10,000, that's the ERS contribution, and that would be next year's debt service, local share.
So this year it's $260, and next year it's $360.
$290,
$390.
And oh, I'm sorry.
Take the $10,000
out because that's the ERS.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So it's $358.
Why? I'm sorry. Why does it go up by that much?
Because we're taking on roughly banning $5 million. We're estimating. For the $8 million project.
So that's the funding of the $8 million project?
Right. That was roughly about $100,000.
So if we take a bond out for the energy program that was discussed last week, what would it go up?
The local share of that. So but then we have a positive cash flow with the building.
Yeah, but there's still a debt that we have. What would the debt be?
The calculated what, $120,000?
Another $120,000.
But okay. When you do this calculation, you have to subtract building aid. So it does factor in. It's not just one-sided. So in doing this calculation, I actually have to deduct my building aid. That's why I
for
this calculation. So as the building aid comes in...
This is post-building aid, though, right?
This number up here.
This number is post-building aid.
Correct.
Right. The $1 million is pre-building aid, right? The $1 million that you mentioned earlier?
$1 million.
I thought three pages up. Never mind.
Right.
That's the total.
That's total. That's
right.
Our principal and interest.
We have to report the total expenditure of how much our debt service is, including state aid, on the expenditure side.
Right, and so that's pre-state aid, and this is post aid.
Right.
I don't have any more questions.
Just a comment, then we'll Vince can answer that question. I think somebody's getting through the people in state, probably the other superintendents and boards, because all of a sudden Governor Cuomo is not being seen as the education governor. His popularity is still at 69%, but I think he's down below, well below 50% now when it comes to how is he doing with education. So I would encourage you to go to the website, find the draft letter that Vince put on the site, and you can copy it in toto, modify it as you see fit, and send it. There are the addresses of all the legislators there. Send it to whoever you want, including the governor and our senators and representatives. I had a conversation with Chris Gibson, I forget when now, maybe 8 months ago. He he's another one who's completely clueless as to what's going on. And I'm not saying that from a political standpoint. He really has no idea what's going to be happening to the school districts in his district. He's not in the Rich district. So Vince, you had a question for
sure.
I think that's Don out there.
Yep. Okay. This year, based on this year's numbers, 7 through 12, math, English, social studies, and science all average around, and I say that because it could go anywhere from 390 to maybe 408 or 10. So we have 5 members in the math department. This year, their average load was about 80. So by making it 4, it's going to go up to 100. The offerings, we still don't have a definite answer on that because we don't know what people are going to take. We're still in the process of scheduling for next year. We have tried to run different scenarios. It looks like we'll be as close to, if not exactly the same, offerings as this year. The classes are obviously going to be larger. This goes back to everything. You know, I appreciate that question because what we have done here, especially when it comes to everything that I keep saying, and it says it in the letter too, when you get to the website, when we're done, we'll show you. We rank very high in the Albany Business Review, the Buffalo Business First, I think is the name of the one. That was a 3-year survey of schools. We were 56 out of 430 or whatever it was. We placed last year, we started doing the literacy program, and we already started to see results. 3 through 8, when we compared all the ELA and math scores to anybody else in the BOCES district, we came in 3rd, only behind Saratoga and Queensbury. Now, quite frankly, we shouldn't be able to compete with them, but our kids do a hell of a job, and so do our staff. So we are able to compete with them. One of the advantages was we have smaller class sizes. We had smaller class sizes before we had the huge cuts a couple of years ago, and we're going to have larger class sizes if everything goes and nothing changes from the state.
Yes, I do. Thank you. I guess I have to sort of follow what Mr. Romack was saying. I think when I, you know, when you look at the increases, you know, $430,000 for an increase in supervision, which you said was principals and professional development, $540,000 increase in central administration, and then a huge cut in teachers. I guess I do have a really hard time assessing how you come up with a tool to compare teacher value to administration. I hear that you're thinking it will increase in other areas that you'll need administration for, but I don't see how those aren't correlated. I'm just curious how you came up with the value, I guess, of weighing that out and not having an administrative.
I guess it goes back to the rate of return. You know, I'm not saying that anybody's more important than somebody else. A few years ago, everybody sat in the same room here and kept saying, trying to justify who was more important than somebody else. We sat as an administrative team, went down and tried to evaluate what was going to be the least impact on the students. And this is what my final decision was. Again, when we get to the final...
Vince, can I interrupt? Because I just want to clarify. Aaron, you said a $500,000 increase, and I think you're misreading those numbers.
Oh no! Right, not. I just meant an increase overall, any increase for that matter. Even if it stayed the same, I think I'd still have a problem with it. To be honest with you, the fact that those are not seeing any kinds of cuts, I guess I'd want a line by line, like Howard mentioned, of what those costs are, because that I work for a financial institution. If I handed in a budget like that and couldn't show a value system, I don't know. They would have some real problems with that.
Before Vincent, this is just a summary.
I know.
We can get line by line.
And I wasn't sure, you know, the next two meetings what the format would be, but I guess I'm just reacting.
Engineering or math at the college level. we are not going to probably allow to have them at 12th grade math because only five kids are eligible, not six. We went to college fairs, and the college said, your student has to take a 12th grade math. If we don't offer an AP to these 12th grade students, if there's only five out of 50, 10% of the class is eligible, where are these kids going to get their 12th grade education to go to college? We don't have distance learning. The schools around us have distance learning. We don't have. We have no options for kids to take a 12th grade math. I don't think that's going out on a stretch to what we're offering our children. And we didn't need to know what science classes are getting cut. Is physics getting cut with math? I mean, what we need to find out. If we can't educate our students in the building, we need to close the door.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, we can't give them a half an education.
This has been my, say, I agree with you 1,000%. This is why I want everybody to, Albany has to know. Because they put us in a position where if we do decide to go out with more than 2% on the tax limit, and we don't get the supermajority, then we're punished, and we cannot even have that $258,000. So we'd be sitting here talking about more cuts. There will
be a time.
I'm
not talking the cut side. I'm talking the education side. We need to make sure we can educate our students.
Oh yeah, that's the whole point.
And if we can't,
they're not.
We need to be,
they're
we
not separate. They're part and parcel of the same thing, and that's part of the problem. The governor doesn't understand the legislation. I'm sure legislators do not understand what they have done by putting up the tax cap. We went out last year with a 1.8% increase, and it got voted down. Last year should have been the one that we had more, so we would have built up what our base was for this year. If we just used the expenditure side, go back to the same thing. The benefits alone are higher than we can raise in our tax cap. So what happens next year? It's just like this gentleman said over here. We will be facing the same problem every year because there is no solution for us. We can't have a long-term plan because right now, and I think I might have said it earlier, we're on a survival mode. We have to make sure that we can provide an education for our children. Everything is going to affect, no matter how much it is, if it's going to be an extra kid or 10 kids in the class, everything's going to affect it. When it comes down to offering a course with five students in it, we'd have to sit down and evaluate that. I can't tell you right now that that is definitely going to be cut.
Any other questions?
Yes.
Yeah.
More questions? Sarah?
Vince, if you turn the light on, maybe you can see some hands. Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Questions, preferably. Sarah?
Yes, I guess I would be curious, you know, with the smaller class sizes and things, you know, how much, I mean, I assume that means there's classrooms that are being used. I guess I'm wondering on buildings and grounds, is there any way of reducing that number more than just 50 some odd thousand if we were long? And then I'm also wondering on transportation, how much of that is being
probably haven't over the years because those are the things that were cut before anything else was. And when it wasn't affecting the instructional part of the budget, nobody really paid attention. We have been cutting for it. The problem here, the reason we have to do the building project to the extent that we originally tried, and quite frankly, we're sitting in the buildings and grounds meetings talking about the building project and saying, well, isn't that included? No, it wasn't. It was in the first one, not the second. But those are the things that have already been cut. We cut, and this is the, I just had the conversation today with somebody. We cut two village runs last year. Was that last year? Yeah, it was last year. We cut two village runs last year. So what we did was, as the buses came in from their normal runs, they were picking up the students. Now, the buses became pretty close to capacity. Now, there still may be some empty seats you may see when you're sitting on the standing on the ground, but if you have a student with a backpack and an instrument, that's the only thing that's going to fit in the seat. The student
backpacking issue. There's 11 inches that they basically designate for an individual to sit on a bus. So I'd like to go out with any other two individuals and try to sit on a bus. I'm a lot wider than 11 inches, so.
Yeah.
But it gets to a point where we have to provide the transportation for all those students. And there were a lot of parents that felt, well, I'm not going to make them go on a bus where they're going to be crowded or have to stand, which if they have to stand, we're supposed to get another bus out there and provide the transportation. The point I'm saying is more parents decided to bring the students in, either park across the street, walk them over, or come around back and let them in. The congestion in the morning, I'm pretty sure anybody that works here gets caught in the middle of it. And by cutting those two runs, I think what we did was create more of a congestion here. Bus transportation is it's going down again next year. 0.664. And again, this is all driven by our combined wealth ratio. So as that goes up, our bus transportation, our bus aid is going down. Supervisor, is there anything that's not in, or is that aided too? Okay. So transportation, everything is aided at the expense-driven revenue percentage. Did I not answer something?
Vince, just to be clear, the number up here is post-aid, though, correct? Then for transportation?
Here, that number, we're looking at the expenditure side. That's the gross. That's before the aid.
Oh, that's before aid.
That's before aid. Did I answer? Sorry.
The other one was building the ground, whether or not the
We can't. I wish we could shut off rooms like that, but we can't. I tried to move over here.
Why not? I mean,
can't answer that.
Sarah?
Yeah.
The energy project that we're looking into, we'll be voting on the next month or so, up or down. One of the things that they're including are controls in the rooms so that when the rooms are empty, the actual heat exchangers go off and the room temperature drops. Measure CO2 in the room, so it measures whether people are present. Those are the kind of things we're looking at, but that's obviously not going to happen next year. That's savings in the future. Yes.
I'm wondering how much has our student body increased? How much per year have we? How many fewer students do we have each year at this point?
2 years ago, my first year, we were 962 students. Yes. Last year, we were 926 students. This year, we were officially on beds day. There's one day, the first Monday in October. That's the official. And this year we were 9/12 or 13.
Not a huge decrease.
So we have dropped the last 3 years.
But not huge.
Not comparatively speaking to other districts, yeah. There was a study done by BOCES from 1993 to, I think it was 2008. We lost 18% of our student population. We were about 1150 in 1993.
My 16-year-old sent me here with a specific mission to save AP classes because he has a very specific plan as to how to get to college and he needs his AP classes. My question is, how much are they going to be affected since I can afford to help him?
We are going to do our best, and I'm not trying to avoid your answer. The way the schedule is set up, we may still have 95-98% of what we have. So we don't know because the enrollment hasn't been, all the kids haven't scheduled at this point. But I would have to say, and we've even talked as a board trying to rotate the AP courses. So if one doesn't get offered this year, we will make sure that the next year will be offered. But if we get into that situation, the students need to know that. So if they're thinking about taking a course, they can plan accordingly in their schedule. It probably goes back to Deb's question earlier. If it's a questionable number this year, and we don't have that rotation obviously in place for the seniors, that if they knew as juniors, maybe it would be a different story. I would probably push to run those smaller classes. The transition for anything is the hardest thing to do. And if we start the transition into an alternating year, if everybody's aware of what's going on, it's easier to plan accordingly. But if I would have sat here last year the governor told us he was going to increase the education aid 3 to 4% over last year's budget. What happened was he increased 3 to 4% over everything that we showed you. So he took out the $250 million in grants. And he also used monies of the 3 to 4% increase in our expense-driven revenues. Now, I can't emphasize enough, the expense-driven revenues are revenues that we get back because of what we spend. So if we were anticipating, when we budgeted the $425,000 the first year we used in excess of what we normally would use in the fund balance, we did everything we could to pre-purchase so we would get revenue the next year. That's why we were able to put so much ahead, so much back of that $425,000. Unfortunately, that first year is the one where you get the impact, when you get best bang for your buck. So when we tried to buy whatever we could that we knew we were going to buy, and, for instance, we're going to buy smart boards. So instead of going out and buying smart boards, we went through BOCES. So we got BOCES aid on the smart boards. They might have cost us $60,000, but we got at that time close to 70% back. Now our BOCES aid has dropped to 61%. So if you go through BOCES, again, they're doing all this stuff, and I was cautioned about even mentioning this, but I think everybody needs to be made aware of it. Special ed costs are absolutely astronomical. We have a student that's aging out this year that we're paying $160,000 a year in annual 12-month placement. That person's aging out, so we figure, okay, we have that much money in our back pocket that we can use to apply to next year's budget. We just had a student move into the district, a family move into the district where a student is costing us so far, and we're trying to find a placement in New York State because they moved up from New York City. So far, the bill is $26,000 per month. So the only reason they say this is because now, instead of $160,000, we're going to $200,000. There's $100,000 that we didn't. We were looking at possibly having $160,000, which would have been three positions. Now we have to look at an additional $100,000 that we didn't budget. So we didn't have it in this year's budget, and they started January?
February
1st. February 1st they started. So we're paying $26,000 that was an unbudgeted amount of money for February, March, April, May, June. 5 months this year. Yes, sir.
Just a question, and it kind of goes to these AP questions. How willing are Greenwich and Salem or neighboring schools willing to have a conversation about maybe aligning bell schedules and sharing services enough so that maybe an AP chemistry, AP thing, one of the schools can offer it, and by sharing, we not only do it very creatively and very cost efficiently, but offer more programs than we currently, more courses than we currently do now by sharing and being a little creative.
I'll let Vince answer that in a second, but we have been talking to the surrounding schools. The biggest problem is the bell schedule. And I don't know why that's written in stone for each district, but everybody has their own little thing, and I'll let Vince take over from there.
We're going to a shared services meeting through BOCES tomorrow night to discuss something as simple as that. And I say that tongue-in-cheek. There are too many people that are married to their bell schedules. 2 years ago, when we first started talking about, I met with Greenwich, Salem, and Argyle. And the four of us were trying to get on some sort of a schedule so we're exactly the same. Because as of right now, even if we did distance learning, a student would lose probably two periods just to take one class because the bell schedules are so different. But they're not different enough that we can't make them to mesh. As a matter of fact, at our instructional cabinet meeting today, we were talking about the fact that if we were, as I put the four schedules, Hoosier Falls, Greenwich, Argyle, Salem, and Cambridge. Yeah, Hoosier Falls is about 15 minutes difference, So that's going to be probably the harder one to match everybody easier. But the other four are pretty close. I mean, within 5 minutes. So Argyle, Salem, and Cambridge have been talking even this year about doing it. There's been some issues with Greenwich that we haven't been able to get them on at the table. And it's nothing, not that they won't be receptive. I don't think at this point they would be receptive. But what my point was, and this is one of the reasons why we explored the extended time schedule, if we could get to a point where we had four double periods a day, you could have somebody go to Cambridge and want to take an ag program in Greenwich, so half a day they go over there. Instead of saying they're going to Greenwich, they're going to a different campus. That's how I would try to approach it. And it would make more sense, quite frankly, if Greenwich were the center. If you think about it, Greenwich is the center of Hoosick Valley, Schuylerville, Argyle, Salem, and Cambridge. So if they were the middle of that, they're not, at this point, willing to make any commitment. Greenwich, or Salem and Argyle, we're talking about trying to get next year on the same schedule. So the three of us are still, and that's why we were talking about it in administrative, you know, or instructional cabinet today. And that's something that I agree. The hardest thing is really to get whomever, because of their schedule for years and years and years, not changing, being on the same bell schedule as somebody else. Some people have 39-minute periods, some have 41-minute periods, some have 40. So that's one of the things they have to look at. And it's, everybody does the same thing, it's just a little different. So, but we're trying.
Speaking as a non-educator, I it feels just as trivial to me up here as it probably does to you out there, guys. But Vince has been knocking heads with, not knocking heads, but they've been discussing at length trying to get this done. It seems like a very simple thing. It's not. Don't ask me why in detail. It's just not. Any other questions out there? Thank you, Carl. Okay.
I have a question.
Yes.
Yeah, we've been talking about proposed cutting of all the sports and on the quite a few teachers. But there's no, is there, maybe there should be more administrative cuts. I mean, I think that putting all those kids back on the street, not giving them anything to look forward to,
I will just use that quickly, and we will have more discussions on all these topics, but eliminating that one administrator will not give you sports back. It's not even close.
Well, I'm not really, well, teachers is what is the big deal. I mean, I think the community can make up for some of the sports. I didn't say one, well, maybe two. I mean, you're talking. Okay.
Can I make a suggestion to everybody? Thank you for the good questions. What I would like to propose is that we have a board workshop scheduled for when now?
Next one is the 30th.
March 20th. It's at 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock is the next one.
It'll be right here. Go home and digest the information you got. Talk to your friends and neighbors, relatives. Come up with some more questions, some more comments. Please feel free to call the school if you have something you want answered quickly. And we will try and do the same thing on the 20th. We won't have to go through all the numbers again. We will go through probably any updated suggestions that Mr. Canini has had to us as far as what cuts are going to be made.
The 20th is a Tuesday and the 28th is a Wednesday. We try to hit different days. Hopefully, like I said, to fill this room, bring people next time, please.
Okay, thank you.
The question is the budget, the